Good evening. You have your Bible. Let's open to Psalm 30 together. That's Psalm 30. We're going to aim to keep things short and sweet tonight, so we have plenty of time to enjoy our kind of last fellowship for a while together. I make no promises, though, about it being short, and I definitely don't make any promises about it being sweet whatsoever. That is the goal, though. Just spend a little bit of time reflecting on the Word. Psalm 30 is where we'll be. If you didn't know, we are in November. October is gone, done away with. Halloween yesterday, we have moved on to holiday season. Some of you have already been playing Christmas music for weeks on end, maybe. But we're in that time of year where we kind of shift towards Thanksgiving, shift towards the holidays. It's a season of joy, the season of thankfulness. But it's also, for many people, maybe even many of us, a season of darkness, a season of sadness, a season of loss. As the days kind of get shorter and shorter, as the nights and the darkness get longer and longer, some of us just feel that. We feel the darkness kind of pressing in. And so tonight, as we reflect on Psalm 30, I want us to talk a little bit about joy. See, the Bible talks all over the place about joy. Read the book of Philippians. It's a book about joy. But it never gives us a list of how to do it. It never gives us a step-by-step approach to this is how you live with joy. But it does give us some ideas and some principles and some thoughts kind of all over the text that help us to fight for joy. To help us to fight for the joy that is promised, the joy that comes to us in Jesus. And so I want us to read Psalm 30 together and then just reflect on some really practical ways, just short little practical ways that we can fight for joy as we go about our lives. So Psalm 30, the psalmist writes, "I will exalt you, Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths. You did not let my enemies gloat over me. Lord, my God, I called to you for help and you healed me. You, Lord, brought me up from the realm of the dead. You spared me from going down to the pit. Sing praises to the Lord, you, his faithful people. Praise his holy name, for his anger lasts only for a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may last for the night, but joy comes in the morning. When I felt secure, I said, I will never be shaken. Lord, when you favored me, you made my royal mountain stand firm. But when you hid your face, I was dismayed. To you, Lord, I called. To the Lord, I cried for mercy. What is gained if I am silent, if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? Hear, Lord, and be merciful to me. Lord, be my help. You turn my wailing into dancing. You remove my sackcloth and clothe me with joy, that my heart may sing your praises and not be silent. Lord, my God, I will praise you forever." I love that line here in verse 5. Weeping may last for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. This is a psalm that is written out of a place of darkness. It comes from someone who knows darkness, who knows struggle, who knows pain, but who has been brought to the other side, who has found joy in the midst of darkness and anxiety and depression and struggle and difficulty. The psalmist has found joy, and he's found joy in God. And so let's kind of get as practical as we can for a little bit of time together tonight and talk about some ways that we can fight for joy in our life. Number one, understand the difference between joy and happiness. Paul writes in Philippians 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice." We often think of joy as an emotion. We think of joy as just kind of what we feel. But joy in the biblical understanding isn't just an emotion. It's not just what we feel. That's part of it, yes, but it's not just emotion. Happiness, on the other hand, it is kind of just an emotion. Happiness is based on what happens to you. You've probably heard that before. Happiness is based on what happens to you. It starts on the outside, and then it works its way into the center of our lives. But joy, on the other hand, joy starts inside. and joy begins to work its way out of our lives like an overflowing fountain. Joy begins inside and overflows and bursts its way into all of our life. And that's why Paul can say, rejoice in the Lord always. And he could write that when he was a prisoner. He could say, rejoice, because it's not based on what happens to him. It's based on something more. And so number two, in the same vein, refuse to focus on your circumstances. Refuse to focus on your circumstances. If joy is rooted in our heart, if it's rooted on what's inside where God works in our life, then circumstances can't create joy. No matter what happens in your life around you, no matter how many good things pile up or how many bad things happen to you, your circumstances can't steal your joy and they can't create joy, because joy is bigger than that. See, we can choose joy. We can fight for joy in our life because it's a product of who we are. And it's a product of whose we are, that we belong to God. It's not a product of where we are. It's not a product of what happens to us. It's a product of God's work in our life. So refuse to focus on your circumstances. And number three, practice contentment. See, contentment and joy go hand in hand, because contentment and joy both come from gratitude. See, people who experience joy aren't jealous people. They're not envious people. They don't look at their neighbor. They don't look at their brother or sister. They don't look at the person on TV and say, I wish I had what they had. Joyful people are content with what God has given us, what God has given them. Joyful people, content people, might not always have the best of everything, but they do make the best of what they have. And when we are content with what we have and we are thankful for it, joy begins to grow in our hearts. But if we're always focusing on what we don't have, on what somebody else has that we wish we had, then we will never know real joy. Number four, see God as your ultimate provider. Paul again says in Philippians, my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. See, joyful people know that God provides. Not only do they know that God provides, they know that God provides every need that we have. And not just gives us the need, but gives us what we need according to the riches and glory in Christ Jesus. It's more than just barely scraping by. Gives us what we need according to the glory of Jesus. Now, sometimes we might not physically have a crazy overabundance of things, of material stuff, of whatever. But when we remember the truth that God provides, and he provides every real need that we have according to the glory of Jesus, then it helps us to live in trust. See, one of the things that steal our joy more than anything else is stress. It's anxiety. It's worry. And so when we trust him to meet our needs, it helps to ease that stress, and it helps to ease that anxiety that steals our joy. Now, number five. Do life together with solid people. There's a poet who once said that no man is an island. No person goes through life kind of isolated and cut off from everyone. Even if you are kind of a person that keeps to yourself most often, even if you just kind of stay in your own little section at work and avoid as many people as possible, you're still influenced by people. And so it's important that you do life with good, solid people. In our fight for joy, surround ourselves. We need to surround ourselves, rather, with people who help us stay focused on what matters. If you're in Bible class this morning, Rob talked about how easy it is for other people's negativity to influence our own heart, our own soul. When we surround ourselves with people who are constantly focused on what's wrong, what's no good, what's messed up, with what's lacking, then that same type of negativity can begin to affect ourselves. But if we surround ourselves with solid people, with people who are focused on what matters, with people who are seeking the kingdom, then that influences us for joy. And it helps us to experience joy. So do life together with solid people. Number six, see yourself as God sees you. Key to our fight for joy is maintaining what I like to call a God-centered identity. A God-centered identity, because you are who God says you are. You are not your job. You are not your house. You are not your family. You are not your car. You are not what other people say you are. You are, at the core of your identity, who God says you are. And so don't compare yourselves with others. Don't compare yourselves to other families. Don't compare yourself to other people at work. Don't compare yourself even to other people sitting in the pews here tonight. Center your identity in who God says you are. See yourself as God sees you. And when we do that, when we live from that God-centered identity, it helps us to know joy because everything else is put into its proper place. Number seven, give generously. There's something about giving. Giving financially, but also giving of our time and our talent and our energy and all of those other things that help us to experience joy. Because when we give, it takes the focus off of ourselves. When we give of our energy or talent, when we serve other people, it gets us out of our own world. And it helps us connect with other people. It helps us to realize how much God has given us. See, when we give, it helps us to focus on the abundance that God has given us. So often we'll focus on what we don't have. We'll focus on what's lacking. We'll focus on where kind of the budget falls short. Or we focus on our whatever is getting old or whatever the situation is. But when we focus on the abundance that God has and when we live with generosity, it focuses us on the good. And that helps us fight for joy. Number eight, pursue life with passion. Paul again says in Colossians 3, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as you're working for the Lord and not for human masters. See, hard work does something for our souls. And not just physical hard work, but putting time and energy and passion and ambition into something does wonders for our souls. A lot of times we feel or we kind of buy into the misconception that hard work is part of the curse. That work is something that we weren't made for. But if you read back at the beginning of Genesis, work isn't the result of the curse. It's not a result of the fall. Work isn't part of the brokenness of our world. We were made to work. We were made to focus our lives with purpose and with passion. And when we do that, like when we put effort into what we do, not just coast by, not just kind of slide through, not just kind of meet the bottom rung, but when we work like we are working for Jesus in everything we do, it helps us to experience joy. And when we are able to orient what we do into the purpose of God, when you're able to figure out how your job, how your calling, how your role fits into God's grand redemptive scheme, then it helps you experience joy even more. Because wherever we are in life, it's not just the paid ministers, it's not just elders or deacons who have a vocation and a calling in God's kingdom. It's all of us, whether you are a stay-at-home mom or whether you work out in the world doing whatever. All of us have a part to play in God's mission, and God works through all of it. And when we understand that, it helps us experience joy. Number nine is simply forgive. Forgive. Forgiveness leads to joy because it frees us from burdens. If you hold a grudge, it's like a weight that weighs you down. If you hold a grudge, it's like a poison that infects the very fiber of your being. And when we can learn to forgive, when we can learn to forgive as Jesus has forgiven us, it helps us to be free, to be unburdened, to let the weights off of our back, to run free and to experience God's joy. Number 10, reject fear. Paul tells Timothy, the Spirit God gave us doesn't make us timid, but it gives us power, love, and self-discipline. When we reject fear, we reject anxiety. When we reject fear, we reject worry. When we reject fear, it helps us to remember the Spirit that God has given us. And when we say no to fear, when we say no to the trepidation, when we say no to the stress and the anxiety and all of those things, it helps us to trust God. Because that's what it's about. That's what fighting for joy is about. It's about trusting in God. And so we are invited, as we were this morning as we studied in Mark, we are invited to trust God. To trust God in the big things of life and to trust God in the small little minutia of life. And through that, we fight for joy because that's where joy comes from. Joy comes from God. So tonight, as we offer the invitation, if you need to respond publicly to put your trust in God, maybe in baptism for the first time, or maybe by coming before the church saying that you need prayers and support, we want to give you a chance to do that. So if you need to respond, why don't you come as we stand.